Good evening. Welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, yesterday the Congress said the High Court order staying president's rule in Uttarakhand was a victory for democracy. Today, the Supreme Court's order seems to have turned the tables on the Congress. President's rule is back. Harish Rawat is out as chief minister and the bottom line remains the same. Come the 29th of this month, there will be a floor test. And there, once and for all, hopefully, we will know if the Congress has the numbers to remain in power or not. Our question tonight, president's rule back after 24 hours, will Uttarakhand's Game of Thrones get murkier? Also on the show tonight, the senior BJP leader from Haryana, Captain Abhimanyu, joins me and for the first time tells us the frightening story of how his young family escaped from sure-shot death during the height of the Jat riots in Rohtak. He shares with NDTV also for the first time video of his house being burned down, moments after his family miraculously escaped. An interview you don't want to miss. That'll be close to half past the hour.
They saw people breaking the house. They saw people breaking things in the house. They saw people entering in the house. They saw people looting the house. And they saw people surrounding their house. They were locked in the house. The house was put to fire. At that particular spur of the moment, I can only say that probably God or a miracle saved them.
But first, our top story. President's rule in Uttarakhand, stayed by the High Court yesterday, is back on the orders of the Supreme Court as the battle of one-upmanship between the Congress and the BJP continues.
Harish Rawat's return to the Chief Minister's chair lasted barely 24 hours. By Friday evening, the Supreme Court put everything and every player on hold. The High Court order quashing President's rule stayed till the 27th of April, which means Harish Rawat cannot rule. The government plea in Supreme Court was simple. It doesn't have a copy of the High Court order to challenge it, and the Chief Minister has started operating on the order dictated in court.
The Chief Minister will have no power or jurisdiction to work any further till further orders are passed by the Supreme Court on 27th.
Stung by the High Court order, the centre moved extra legal artillery in the form of top lawyer Harish Salve and a desperate plea claiming Rawat's government was in minority on the 18th of March and that the budget was passed violating rules. The centre needs the top court's intervention to stall the trust vote on the 29th of this month. Harish Rawat has the winning numbers as the 9 Congress MLAs are disqualified. The relief for the government is that the rebel camp is not succumbing to pressure.
We are quite hopeful that there will be justice, ultimate justice, by the apex court on the 27th, and let's hope for the best.
So the centre has a breather from the Supreme Court in the Uttarakhand case, but the Supreme Court also handed over a note of caution to the central government. It told the union government, do not revoke the president's rule in Uttarakhand, thus ending any possibility of political forces in Uttarakhand exploring government formation, as in the case of Arunachal.
The centre's legal argument for imposing president's rule one day before the trust vote is still on a sticky wicket. Worse, the Congress is using every opportunity to prove that the centre is trying to remove its government.
यदि मुझे कभी 18 मिनट भी मिलेंगे सेवा करने के लिए, मैं उसका भरपूर उपयोग करूंगा. बल्कि अब तो मैंने एक सबक ले लिया है कि तुमको बहुत ही कम समय मिलने वाला है. जितने तेज कर सको उतना तेज करो, क्योंकि मैं जानता हूं कि मोदी भैया जो हैं मुझे छोड़ने वाले नहीं हैं.
The trouble for the Narendra Modi government is far from over. The Supreme Court has only given an interim stay to the Uttarakhand High Court's order till the 27th of this month. And with Parliament reconvening, the fireworks are expected to be seen in both Houses of Parliament. With Rahul Srivastava, Sunil Prabhu, NDTV.
Mr. Rawat, you were a chief minister for just a few hours. What is your initial reaction to the Supreme Court staying the High Court order from Nainital?
A few hours before, I was a barkhast Mukhyamantri. And yesterday, after the verdict of the Honorable High Court, I became the Chief Minister, or now with the new decision coming from the Supreme Court, now I am a former Chief Minister. Mera naam keval badla hai. Pehle main Modi ji ke dwara sar kata hua jo hai barkhast Mukhyamantri tha. Kal High Court dwara sthapit main Mukhyamantri tha, aur aaj jo hai main jo hai Supreme Court ke dwara banaya gaya nivartaman Mukhyamantri hu. 27 tarikh ko जो है डेट लगी हुई है, तारीख सुनवाई होगी। ये एक अंतरिम आदेश है। इस अंतरिम आदेश की रीडिंग केवल इतनी है कि यथास्थिति बनी रहेगी और हम उम्मीद करते हैं ये जो संविधान हमारे पक्ष में है, लोकतंत्र हमारे पक्ष में है, जनभावना हमारे पक्ष में है, मुझे पूरा भरोसा है कि सुप्रीम कोर्ट से भी हमको न्याय मिलेगा।
सो यू टुक 11 की डिसीजंस विद इन दीस फ्यू आवर्स दैट यू हैड, टू कैबिनेट मीटिंग्स एंड 11 की डिसीजंस, बट दैट वाज अ पॉइंट यूज्ड बाय द सेंटर एज एन आर्ग्यूमेंट दैट बिफोर द डिटेल्ड ऑर्डर केम आउट इन राइटिंग।
मैं उन लोगों को एक बात बताना चाहता हूँ, वो आजन्म सत्ता का पट्टा लिख करके आए हैं और मुझ जैसे लोगों को कभी कभी अवसर मिलता है, मैं उस अवसर को कैसे कमा सकता हूँ। कल मुझे अवसर 18 घंटे का मिला, मैंने करीब 18 जो है निर्णय लिए, गरीबों के पक्ष में लिए, दलितों, पिछड़ों, आदिवासियों के पक्ष में, अपने एससी एसटी के पक्ष में लिए, विकलांगों के पक्ष में लिए, मैंने जो है जो गरीब लोगों को समाज कल्याण की पेंशनें मिलती हैं उनको बढ़ाने का निर्णय लिया, बेरोजगारों के लिए निर्णय लिया, राज्य आंदोलनकारियों को पेंशन देने का निर्णय किया, और पानी जैसे सवाल, जंगल के आग जैसे सवाल, चार धाम जैसे सवाल का समाधान निकालने की कोशिश की। मैं भी जो है झुकने वाला नहीं हूं, मैं भी विशुद्ध खालिस यहाँ जो है उत्तराखंड का गाढ़ गधेरों का व्यक्ति हूं। हमारे गाढ़ गधेरों के पत्थर जो है वो घिसते घिसते समाप्त हो सकते हैं, लड़ते लड़ते समाप्त हो सकते हैं प्रकृति से, दूसरी चीजों से, मगर टूट नहीं सकते हैं, झुक नहीं सकते हैं, तो मैं भी नहीं झुकने जा रहा।
सो यू डोंट थिंक यू डिड एनीथिंग रॉन्ग? लास्ट क्वेश्चन सर, आर यू प्रिपेयर्ड फॉर द 29th? बिकॉज द सुप्रीम कोर्ट विल स्टिल ऑफ कोर्स डिसाइड वेदर द फ्लोर टेस्ट कंटिन्यूज ऑन द 29th, बट नंबर्स हैव बीन अ कंसर्न राइट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग, सो फॉर द 29th व्हाट्स योर प्रिपरेशन?
हमने खुद ही अपनी कैबिनेट में फैसला करके स्पीकर महोदय से कहा है कि 29 तारीख को विधानसभा बुलाई करके हम अपना बहुमत सिद्ध करेंगे। हमने, और मैंने बहुत पहले भी कहा था जब 28 मार्च को रखा गया था, मैंने कहा भाई दो ही रास्ते हैं, या तो फ्लोर पर जो है हमारे मेजोरिटी सिद्ध होगी तो मुख्यमंत्री के रूप में काम करेंगे, यदि मेजोरिटी सिद्ध नहीं कर पाएंगे तो लोगों विधानसभा को भी धन्यवाद देंगे, प्रणाम करेंगे उस मंदिर को, और उसके बाद पैदल चल करके अपने घर तक आ करके जनता को भी, उत्तराखंड के लोगों को भी धन्यवाद देने जाएंगे, और इस 29 तारीख को होगा तो 29 तारीख को भी यही करेंगे। हमारे स्वभाव में, हमारे काम में कोई अंतर नहीं आएगा। हम और लोगों की तरीके से नहीं है, जब सत्ता से बाहर हैं तो दूसरे आदर्श हैं, और जब सत्ता में हैं जब तो फिर कुछ दूसरे आदर्श, हम उनकी तरीके से नहीं है।
Alright, thank you for talking to us. So that was Mr. Harish Rawat. Then it's back to President's rule here at Uttarakhand, but Mr. Rawat trying to show that he is not giving up anytime and he will in fact fight back and hope that if at all there is a floor test by the end of next week that he manages to be victorious there. With camera person Manoj Kumar reporting from Dehradun, Tonima Biswas for NDTV.
Well, Harish Rawat over there trying to make the best of a pretty bad situation. His vibes yesterday were quite different. Yesterday he'd said that what the High Court had ruled was a victory for democracy. I'm not sure whether he would necessarily argue the same thing today. Joining us to look at the road ahead in this game of political one-upmanship, what happens next, what happens to the people of Uttarakhand in this complex legal case? Nalin Kohli of the BJP, Kishore Upadhyay, Uttarakhand Congress President also with us. Pinky Anand, Additional Solicitor General, Prashant Bhushan, Senior Advocate of the Supreme Court, Subhash Kashyap, the Constitutional Expert. So we've got a high-powered panel this evening of leading lawyers. Let's just see what we get out of this debate. Let me come to you first, Mr. Upadhyay. Why did you have to rush for the Chief Minister's seat?
Yeah.
You didn't even have a copy of the order.
No. There was no rush. Because you have a very, very legal expert in the panel. They will tell you better than me. But when there was a speaking order from Honorable High Court, our representative was there, our advocate. Center government's advocate was there. And Honorable Governor's advocate was there. So everybody was there present. They know what court is saying. And when court has said that president rules ends here, so what was the option?
Wait for an order from the court
of the state?
But why the desperate hurry? To pass more than 10 orders
today,
less than a day? What were you trying to prove, that you are hungry for power?
We are not hungry for the power. But you tell me, and other panelists also tell me, will enhance my legal knowledge. What was the option before us? Should we put Uttarakhand in hodgepodge created by Mr. Narendra Modi and his
team? What was the hodgepodge if there was
the charge of
the
state?
What was the hodgepodge if President's rule remained over there?
Who will look after the state when there is no president rule?
All right.
Who will look after the state? That is the basic question I am asking to everybody.
Oh, well, that's a larger question. We'll hopefully get an answer on the 29th. But Nalin, let me ask you this. Nalin Kohli, do you consider it a victory of sorts for you today? Or is what has happened in the Supreme Court essentially procedural? Bottom line, 29th, everybody will know where things stand. So would you call it a procedural step? In your favor,
I don't know
obviously.
About the 29th, because the next date of hearing is the 27th and the matter is before the Supreme Court. But I've been listening to Mr. Rawat's long interview. I've been listening to Mr. Upadhyay's long comments, and Mr. Modi is central to both of them. I think there was a reason for hurry, and that reason for hurry was evident, which the entire nation saw in terms of a video, a sting of a chief minister seeking to purchase support for so-called to serve Uttarakhand. So that was the exact hurry. And that exactly is not hodgepodge according to the Congress party. But Mr. Modi must be blamed for a reality that's not happened in India's history. Where on the 18th we have seen a fraud, a literal constitutional fraud being played out on the floor of an assembly. 27 people in the morning in the from the BJP go to the governor. They ask for a division. Why did Mr. Rawat in his petition in para number 16 deny this fact in the sense said nobody asked for a vote? Wasn't that a lie? Do you approach a high court, an honourable high court, with a dirty hand in that sense? With unclean hands, suppressing a fact, making a genuine, specific misrepresentation of the facts?
Okay, Nalin, couple
These
of
are
points.
Serious arguments. And you say that you want to serve Uttarakhand. In the evening, when 35 people have asked for it, when the governor sent that thing to the speaker on instructions of the governor, his office sent it.
But they have written two letters to the governor saying that they wanted a floor test. Why did you need to act 24 hours before a floor test in the first place?
Mr. Soam, because what everyone is trying to conveniently forget, and you will need to look at this very carefully, is that on the 18th, what happened was the primary reason that you had to realize was there. This is the government of India. The government of India, when it's making an advice through the cabinet to the Honorable President of India, on whom I must say there have been certain comments, which I'm not sure. I ask myself this question, that should we have comments on the highest constitutional position of the land without understanding
that
it's part of a judgment?
Maybe we shouldn't do that. Let's keep that out of the way. Let's focus on the legal
issue. We can come back to the political issue. Let's come back, because the government of India will first collect. The governor sends in various reports, writes his communication, letters, whatever you may call it. There is also Article 356 is specific. It's not only on the governor's report, it is also otherwise. That means when the government of India has got information that something is happening on the 18th, which 27 BJP MLAs asked, 9 MLAs whom the Congress itself calls rebels in their own petition, clearly in para 16. So the Congress here is moving with double face. And what they are saying is they want to serve the people of Uttarakhand through a sting to purchase support, which is the first in Indian democracy where a chief minister is doing
so. Okay, Prashant Bhushan, come in over here. Nalin makes the point about the sting repeatedly, but if you look at what the High Court yesterday had to say, the High Court said it is true material was available in the form of a CD, but it is clear from the record that the cabinet had not verified the CD when giving the advice. I presume,
because
to the president.
356 wasn't imposed only on the CD.
No, but then if this is what the High Court said yesterday, can this sting, as Nalin argues, still be considered weighty enough to contribute towards the imposition of
president's rule? I must clarify something legally, and you've got the ASG, you've also got others, but I must clarify something legally. Please go back very carefully and understand how 356 operates.
No, but there's a lot over here about 356 which shows that 356 shouldn't have come in at all. But Nalin, one second.
Nalin, I must make this point because I think you're getting it wrong. So I must. It's my responsibility also.
Nalin.
That I must put it down very clearly. The courts can look at the relevance of the material that is given in terms of the advice.
Yeah, they
can't
look
at the sufficiency, the adequacy, and other
they
issues.
They have looked at the
relevance,
and they have
may
said
be relevant,
that it is
it
true material was
relevant.
Available.
That material may be considered, it may not be considered.
But Nalin, you're saying the same point. You're saying the same
finally,
thing. The High Court has said it is true
president.
That material was available, but it is clear from the record that the cabinet had not verified the CD when giving the advice.
Hold on, Vishnu, I have again said you're missing the point by a mile. You're missing it by a mile. I said material can be relevant, it may not be relevant. It is in the totality of it. The courts cannot, part of judicial review, go in there and look at the adequacy, sufficiency, and finally look at the judicial review of the decision.
Prashant Bhushan, would you like to come in over there? Would you like to come in over there? Let's deal with this point on the CD. My interpretation, not as a lawyer, but only as a journalist, or what the High Court has yesterday said, it seems to be quite different from what Dalit is saying.
Dalit making the basic point
that this CD needs to have been considered
more than it was.
Mr. Bhushan said, Dalit, let's get other voices. Mr. Bhushan,
even a child in television would know that you have a chief minister saying, "Mere paas itne paise nahi hai, 4-5 crore abhi de sakta hu." What a scenario on TV.
Mr. Bhushan, the validity, of this thing. Yes, go ahead.
May I ask one question to Mr. Nalin?
Every argument, it seems that Nalin has been sent with a brief to just go on speaking without allowing anybody else to speak.
No, sorry, Mr. Bhushan.
This is not the way in which civilized people behave.
Sorry, Mr. Bhushan. Sorry, Mr. Bhushan. I beg to differ. Nalin. I'm making my point. I didn't interrupt.
No, Nalin,
you, sir.
Can we also have some other voices? Nalin, we've got plenty of time.
That's an unfair comment. What do you mean, civilized? Am I an uncivilized person?
No, you are not uncivilized. Nobody is uncivilized. Let's continue with the debate.
Please don't have me on the show
Let us all continue with the debate, Nalin.
And for
one moment,
I think Mr. Bhushan, who I treat with respect.
Right, so everybody treats everybody with respect.
No,
Mr. Bhushan,
I don't think
carry
I
on
one question to make Mr. a personal Nalin. Comment against me. And I think Mr. Bhushan should withdraw it and we can continue with the debate.
Mr. Bhushan, let's not get personal about this. And Nalin, nobody will get personal. That includes you. Mr. Bhushan, please go ahead.
You see, every argument that Nalin is making about the CD, about the vote or not allowing the speaker, not allowing division on the vote on the budget, etc. Each of these arguments has been considered threadbare by the High Court when it held that the actions of the central government were malafide, were out to destroy democracy, and was not a good enough basis to impose president's rule on a state. Even if the speaker has taken a wrong decision, that is no reason on the basis of which you can say that the government of the state cannot be carried on in accordance with the constitution. So far as the CD is concerned, it's absolutely unclear what exactly the CD shows. It's also absolutely unclear whether the CD is cut, authentic, or not. But in any case, each one of these arguments was argued threadbare before the High Court. The High Court has taken all that into consideration and decided it. Now, so far as Mr. Rawat taking charge yesterday after the High Court order is concerned, you see, once the High Court order is pronounced, the operative order was that the President's rule is quashed. Everybody heard and understood that operative order of the High Court. It's true that the reasons have not yet come out, which will come out early next week. But once the operative order is pronounced, certainly the situation, the president's rule goes and the old government is restored. However, in view of the fact that the central government was going in for appeal before the Supreme Court, etc., Mr. Rawat need not have gone ahead in a hurry and taken decisions which could have waited. He could have taken urgent decisions. He could have also taken routine decisions. But major policy decisions which were not so urgent need not have been taken by him immediately after after the High Court judgment.
Okay. Pinky, Nalin spoke a lot about Article 356 and his belief that it was suitable in this particular case. But again, if you look at what the High Court has had to say, and obviously this will be deliberated in the Supreme Court as well, the High Court said that 356 should be used as a matter of last resort. We are of the view that suspension and dissolution of democratically elected governments breeds cynicism in the hearts of citizens. Isn't this at the core of this entire debate, that 356 has perhaps been misused?
Vishnu, I think that perhaps is something which really will find an ultimatum as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, and the judgment is going to be given by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has considered it fit enough that the High Court judgment was considered by the Supreme Court, and the fact that the hearing would take place in a detailed fashion before the appropriate court on Wednesday, before the date that the floaters had been announced for 29th, itself shows that Supreme Court found that there was something worthy of consideration, failing which the matter might have ended just with the judgment in itself. But there is no point at this on this issue to consider what the High Court found, whether what the High Court found is right or wrong, is something which will be adjudicated upon, and it would really not be appropriate to say that is correct in the circumstances, or for that matter even incorrect. Let the Supreme Court decide that. But may I say one thing?
Yes.
You know, the question of what is suitable, what is not suitable, when should 356 be exercised, whether it is appropriate in this case to exercise 356, is something which is to be decided based on...
Pinky, I'm just going to come back to you in a second. We've lost the audio line with you. It's a bit, there's a bit of a rustle. We'll try and come back in just a moment. Mr. Subhash Kashyap, there have been so many cases, because we've seen the Congress and the BJP accuse each other of lacking democratic values. The Congress says that the BJP has done this in Arunachal Pradesh. They're trying to do this again using Article 356. On the other hand, if you look at the history of the use of Article 356, the Congress party has done it repeatedly. 1992, 1993, the P.V. Narasimha Rao government dismissed four BJP governments in UP, MP, Rajasthan and Himachal Pradesh. The Rao government dismissed the Nagaland government. In 2005, the Manmohan Singh government was in power when the Goa chief minister, then Manohar Parikar, was dismissed by the governor S.C. Jamir. So what goes around comes around. So is it fair for any party accusing the other of dirty politics? They've all done it.
My dear friend, I have one simple point. I heard Shri Harish Rawat. He is an old and very dear friend. I speak as a student of the Constitution. And the point I have, the whole story starts on 18th of March. On the 18th of March, did the party in power, the Harish Rawat government, did they have majority support in the House or did not have? I do not know. If they did not have majority support, they should clearly say whether they had it or not. If they did not have majority support, they had no right to continue even for a minute. And I am not saying whether the appropriation bill was passed or not passed. I am asking them whether they believe that they had lost majority support.
That's
if they had lost
point.
Majority support, they should have gone. They should have gone that very moment. And the nine members who rebelled against the Congress party, they were members as on 18th. They had full rights as members of the House and they had the right to vote. Whatever you do subsequently under the anti-defection law is another matter. But on 18th, the floor was there, and on the floor it was being tested. Those nine members had the right to vote. Please tell me, let the Congress people, let Mr. Harish Rawat tell you and tell the nation whether they genuinely believe that they had majority support on that day.
Let's put that question across to the Uttarakhand Congress president.
Let's
get an answer right now, sir. Mr. Kashyap, let's get an answer to that.
No, just one second, please hold on. All that happened after 18th, which is being discussed, the legitimacy of all that goes overboard if they did not have majority on the 18th.
Mr. Kishore Upadhyay, it's a fact that on the 18th of March, nine rebel Congress MLAs sided with the BJP. Yeah. They voted against the appropriation bill. At that stage, you clearly didn't have the numbers.
Ethically, wouldn't
it have been the right thing for you to say, we don't have the numbers, let's move to the next step?
Mr. Soam, I will request two things to you. One is, I will ask one question to Mr. Nalin Kohli.
No, but why don't you answer this question, sir? It's an important question. You are welcome to ask Nalin after that. But
no,
answer
I'm,
the basic question.
Did you or did you not have the numbers on the 18th of March? I am answering the question. But whatever happened in the assembly, that only honorable speaker can answer. I was not there present that time.
Another thing,
who will decide what happened
so
in the assembly?
You are the Pradesh Congress only, chief. You don't know if you had the numbers on the 18th of March?
I can actually answer that quite easily, because the facts are all part of the petition.
Definitely. We were having definitely when.
But then how come there were nine rebel Congress MLAs who sided with the BJP?
They were not rebel. That time they were Congress members. When session was over, then BJP people took them to the
But didn't they vote against
that
the appropriation
time,
bill,
in
sir?
The assembly. That's why I'm saying.
Sir, didn't they vote against the appropriation
no,
bill?
No, not at all. Not at all. And today they are saying that we are Congress member. How can they vote against the party and party government?
Nalin,
this happened later when assembly session was over.
Okay.
This happened after that.
Okay. Nalin, that, the larger question
after,
over here.
No.
We need to come to this because it's a critical point.
Okay, go ahead.
I think what we need to say is whether it's Attorney General Mukul Rohtgi or the two additional Solicitor Generals of the Government of India, Mr. Maninder Singh and Mr. Tushar Mehta, this is the critical point that has been argued wherever the forums have been there. That, please see the sequence. On the 18th morning, at 10:30, 27 BJP MLAs give a memorandum to the governor. The governor is out of town. His office takes it. Over telephones, the governor gives the instructions, send it to the speaker. It is sent at 11:10 by the secretary to the governor. It's documented. And this is something in para 16 that the petition of Mr. Harish Rawat denies. Says no demand for voting was there. This voting demand was there, which Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi had to accept in his closing arguments. Number two, and that's a critical point because they have not disclosed that fact before the High Court. Second, in the evening before the voting, 27 and 9 want voting. When the governor had also asked that the voting audio video should be sent, nothing was done. No show of hands. Rule 296 of the Uttarakhand rule procedure for the assembly clearly says a division has to be there.
Thirty-five people
were against the government. The government was in minority. A show of hands did not take place. A division did not take place. And thereafter at 11:30, 9 rebel MLAs of the Congress and the 27 of the BJP thereafter give the
but
second memorandum.
Whatever you are arguing
it.
Now isn't it essentially
facts.
A moot point, because going forward, now that the Congress rebels cannot vote, they are 9 in number, the majority mark goes down to 32.
That is also the law. There are judgments of the Honorable Supreme Court that on the floor, the majority is the majority on the floor. And that 35, 26 actually of the BJP, because the 27th was put in jail by the Congress, and 9, total 35 were the majority on the floor. And that is a matter that's cannot
no, but
be
disputed. Going forward now,
which is exactly
Nalin,
what Mr.
Nalin, going
saying.
Forward now,
one
the
comment,
Congress
no,
rebels cannot
comment,
vote. There
comment.
Are 9 of them.
Sure.
Mr.
Just a brief.
Mr. Nalin Kohli is giving completely wrong facts.
Mr. Kishore Upadhyay, I challenge you. And I'm happy that please give an affidavit on behalf of the Congress party to say that no one asked for voting in the morning and that the speaker did not receive
a communication of 27 BJP MLAs, which was sent by the Governor's OSD. Obviously, I'm asking you, as a party spokesman,
Mr. Lenin,
going
Lenin
forward Kohli, into the future,
what I am asking
where, one
know,
minute, sir, Mr.
Upadhyay,
1 minute.
Why are you,
can I please
why are you
over
killing
here?
The, why are you killing the soul of law enacted by Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee?
And why is the Congress party murdering the constitutional requirement that an appropriation bill that is not passed, which is a complete illegality, which is a complete constitutional sin?
Now there is no point in shouting, both of you. Nalin, I have a specific question to you.
I am speaking forcefully.
Can everybody else's audio be brought down so that I can ask Nalin a question? Nalin, the House strength is down to 61. Right, there are 9 Congress rebels who cannot vote. The majority mark is 32. The Congress and others is at 35. The BJP, according to some numbers, would be at 27. So going forward, how do you intend to get the numbers to ensure that you win a floor test?
The floor test is not in question at the moment because the next date of hearing is on the 27th. And the as far as those 9 rebel MLAs are concerned, they mounted their own challenge against the disqualification.
And why?
We don't know what's going to happen with that. And my third thing is, Mr. Prashant Bhushan had raised a point by saying there is an operative. He had said clearly that there is an operative judgment. Where is that operative order? Because nothing has been signed. And if he has a copy of it, I think it will solve everybody's problem from the Supreme Court down to every, the petitioner, the respondents. So there is no operative judgment which has been signed.
You were present there, Mr. Nalin Kohli, that day.
No, but 1 minute, hold on. Please explain to me, Mr. Upadhyay, is it illegal to have a division of votes? Under your rule 296 of the Uttarakhand procedure of the assembly,
should they please read it out and let the world know what does it say?
How has the High Court arrived at the rule 185, which has nothing to do with this?
You know the rules better. I have not been a member of the Uttarakhand assembly.
Not at all.
You
have been an MLA also, sir.
No, anybody...
No, anybody can ask for the division of the votes. I am not disputing that. I have been.
Please understand, again and again you talk about the speaker. But the speaker is protected against
illegality. One moment, Pinky has been listening over here. We've got that line back to a Pinky.
Which is what happened in that division of votes question.
Pinky, go ahead. Is this all a moot point? It ultimately boils down to a floor test. The Supreme Court today has said nothing about that. That will carry on the 29th of this month. So what has happened in
you
the past is a moot point,
Nalin,
right?
Kohli, what was the need to put Uttarakhand under president rule?
What was the need for you not to hold a majority?
One minute.
If you are partying,
everybody's audio down. Let's please listen to Pinky.
Any of the issues regarding a floaters, so
wanting
I hope that
support for
a
two-year
deciding whether a floaters will take place because it is subject to the decision of the Supreme Court, A. And B, the real question, I think, which is forming the fulcrum of the discussion really seems to be 356 should have been invoked or should not have been invoked, particularly in view of the fact that the budget is not passed. You have a division of votes which is not granted. The rest flows from there. In any case, it is subject matter of what the Supreme Court will consider. The floor test is not a distinct reality at this point of time. It is subject to the orders.
All right, Mr. Kashyap, last word to you over here. There have been quite a few very important judgments in the past as far as 356 is concerned. Do you think there is something new or fresh which can actually emerge? Is there any lack of understanding of when and where 356 can and cannot be applied? Do we expect any surprises from the Supreme Court?
So far as 356 is concerned, it has been imposed more than 120 times. More than 120 times, right from the 50s till this day. So there is nothing unusual or unprecedented in position of president's rule. What I would like to repeat, my single point, forget all the legalese. Under the constitution, the chief minister and the government draws its authority from their having majority in the house. Can the Congress spokesman or the chief minister, former chief minister, can say that they had majority support on the 18th of March? The nine members, the rebel members, they were members on that day and they had full right to vote as on that day. So did the Congress have majority on that day?
Right, sir, you made
if
this,
not,
you made
then
this
everything
point and,
that followed.
And their response is that they believe that they did, but be that as it may, that again is a point that doesn't make any sense now. There has been so much water which has already flowed under the bridge as far as that is concerned.
But whatever happened subsequently becomes irrelevant.
Okay.
They should categorically say whether they had majority or no. They are not prepared
Mr. Bhushan,
to say
go ahead.
That they had majority.
Mr. Bhushan,
yes.
Go ahead, sir.
You see, the long and short of this is that let us assume that Nalin and Mr. Kashyap are right, that on that day the government lost majority, it would have fallen. But the logical consequence of that was that these nine MLAs who voted against the budget would have been disqualified, these nine rebel MLAs. In the absence of these nine MLAs, the Congress government would still have had a majority, the Congress people would still have had a majority. Now what the BJP did was, by imposing president's rule, was that they would have prevented the speaker from disqualifying those nine rebel MLAs who voted in violation of the Anti-Defection Act, and thereafter use these nine MLAs to install a new government. So by this stratagem, they are disabling the enforcement of the Anti-Defection Act. They are destroying the Anti-Defection Act by using the strategy of imposing president's rule, preventing the disqualification of the rebel MLAs, and thereafter installing governments with the support of these MLAs who ought to have been disqualified in the first place.
Nalin, we are out of
this
time.
Is what
last,
has been happening.
Last 30 seconds, please go ahead.
Very
yes.
short. Look, on the 18th, during the appropriation bill voting, the majority was clearly against the bill. That bill couldn't pass, and by norm, convention, that government should have resigned. That is clearly because there was 27 and 6, 9 available. Majority is the rule. There is a Guwahati High Court order specific to it that they have the right to vote and they would have voted. Thereafter, whatever would have happened would have been subsequent.
But the question of president's rule arose because the demand for division and the voting did not take place, and illegally a constitutional fraud was committed when a bill that had failed, that too the appropriation bill, was declared passed by the speaker. And the speaker has that immunity under Article 2112 for not illegality. If he conducts an illegal act, he cannot get that immunity under Article 212. He can merely be protected for irregularity. This was not irregularity. This was clear illegality.
Well, one way or the other, the legality and the illegality of what has taken place will be based on what the Supreme Court has to actually say about the verdict of the Uttarakhand High Court and the very strong statements that they had made on how there was a process of uprooting a democratically elected government, how that introduced chaos, how that undermined the confidence of people braving the snow, scorching heat and rain, and so many other things. Let's see what happens now. Today was an interim sort of judgment of sorts. 27th is when this gets heard afresh, and there is a floor test scheduled 2 days after that. Let's see if that actually goes through. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. We're going to move on now to something completely different. The senior BJP leader from Haryana, Captain Abhimanyu, spoke to me a little while earlier today for the first time, telling us the frightening story of how his family escaped from sure-shot death during the height of the Jat riots. The violence that we saw in Haryana a few months back, what was known as the Jat agitation, involved some of the most horrific violence that we've seen in any protest in any part of the country. So many families were affected. Dozens of people lost their lives. Business worth thousands of crores was affected. There were those who had extremely close calls. One of them, a cabinet minister in the Haryana government, a senior BJP leader, Captain Abhimanyu. He was not in Rohtak, where his family was, but he was tracking the movements of his family. And their escape from a mob of more than 1,000 people is one of the great escapes that we've heard about. He joins us now with his family, his young son, his niece, his nephew, to tell us a little bit of those hours when he thought it was all over. They don't want to talk to us, but I think the point that they want to make and the family wants to make is that they have suffered incredibly over the last couple of months. And what they have witnessed is something that no child should ever witness. Captain, thank you so much for speaking to us. And kids, you can run off if you want now.
Thank you.
What I wanted to know is, there must have been moments on that day when you thought you had lost your family. It's a joint family. It's a big family. You all live together. You would have thought it's all over.
As far as family is concerned, Vishnu, yes. On that particular afternoon, it was a very difficult time for me when I was helpless in Chandigarh. And I couldn't do anything for them. They were locked in the house. The house was put to fire. There were neighbors who were calling me up, asking for help, or to send police or fire brigade, and the help wasn't just reaching. And the neighbors were taking all the risks and trying to save the family. Family was putting up a very brave front, at least.
How many people were around in that area?
Inside
the mob?
The mob could have been approximately 1,000 of them.
So there were 1,000 people who had surrounded your home?
Approximately 1,000 plus.
And these were people baying for your blood. The family would have known it instantly that their lives were on the line.
The family did feel so. And since the house was burnt, and they had to just save themselves at that particular time.
How did they escape?
It was the neighbors who helped them out. And neighbors could break the door, which was very difficult otherwise. And at that particular spur of the moment, I can only say that probably the God or a miracle saved them. Another 2 minutes, the gallery that they were hiding themselves in was also engulfed in the fire just 2 minutes later. So it's entirely God's doing and the neighbors' great, great endeavor.
What did the children see when they were inside the house? They would have known something is wrong, but did they witness these violent mobs carrying what, torches with them to set your house afire? What did they see?
They saw people breaking the house. They saw people breaking things in the house. They saw people entering in the house. They saw people looting the house, and they saw people surrounding their house, because each of the room of my house is exposed to some lawn or otherwise, and they could see everything that was happening outside. They could hear a lot of noise and sounds, and then finally they saw the fire reaching out to them through the ventilators of the gallery that they were hiding in, And that's the moment when they could run out once the neighbors informed them that the gate is broken and you can now run out. And the neighbors, they created some sort of human wall to save them from the attackers.
There was also another very lucky situation when there was a car of yours,
yes,
in which these protesters had put in a gas cylinder and the gas cylinder burst and that diverted their attention.
It did, because that particular moment, again, as I said, this is God's hand. It was an absolute miracle that when these people were, they could have rushed in to block the family's way of getting out, that there is a car lying in the porch which they had just burnt, put in a cylinder, which exploded, and that big fire, it pushed them back away from the family for that particular moment. So everything just went right for the family to be saved. So that's the miracle that happened.
And the family moved to different locations of Rohtak. They were not together.
No, they were not together for a few hours. And the neighbors took them on the scooties, the motorcycles, here and there. And the neighbors collected them after a while and then kept moving them till late night, because the help wasn't just reaching. And they were about to just left to fend for themselves. And they could only gather up next morning when they had to be evacuated.
How have the children, how has your family, your wife, how have they been affected?
I would say they've been quite brave in the last couple of months. They've lost everything that belonged to them, which they could call of their own, everything before 19th of Feb. And they had to start their life afresh. They ran out of the house barefoot, and be it clothes, be it books, be it uniforms, or toys, or for the ladies, because the ladies, four of them, we are six brothers, joint family. So the four ladies, four wives of us brothers, including my wife, they've lost everything, every piece of jewelry, every piece of belonging, every photo, everything that they must have collected or brought from their homes for families.
You have a very old family in Haryana. And there's family history dating back several hundred years, and it's all gone now.
Yes.
It's a part of your life, your soul, which is just, it's burnt, it's gone.
At least 300 years old things I remember having in my family as a family treasure. It could be small little things of belonging to our ancestors, could be some coins, could be some stick used by one of our ancestors, could be the old pagadis, could be the letters of Lala Lajpat Rai, letters to my great-grandfather were there. My grandfather's degree of 1901, his younger brother's degree of 1908, and all our own degrees and everything, that their pictures and the books which my grandfather started collecting from the days of Lahore when he was working for Arya Samaj. So more than 20,000 books, all belonging to the Vedic texts and scriptures.
20,000 books burned down?
More than 20,000 books.
More than 20,000 books.
Yes. My father had his library of his own.
Now, some of the family are consulting psychologists as well. Is that right? Is that helping to cope with what they've seen?
We've recently shifted our children to Delhi and got them admitted in Delhi school. And they are adjusting to the new environment of Delhi. And we're also talking to the doctor's friends so that at least they must not have any long-term impact on their psyche because of this trauma that they had to go through.
Would you ever feel safe to go back to Rohtak?
I'm absolutely fine. Vishnu, Rohtak is my home. I'm born there. I've grown up there. My family has lived there for 100 years. And I love that city. And I love the people of this city. Love the people of that region. This particular attack wasn't by the people of Rohtak. It was a politically planned, inspired, and conspiracy which has led to this kind of attack at my family.
They wanted to kill you.
I don't know that what was the motive, but the circumstances led to the threat of life to my family. I don't know whether it really it was just the mob frenzy, but there were people who were acting as some sort of nodes, some key persons who were guiding the mob and were leading things, which are video footages are available, and the people belonging to a special group or a class which belong to a particular political party, and all those people are identified in video or photo or otherwise other technical evidences are there.
I know you don't want to make it political, but you have accused the Congress party of being directly involved in this conspiracy, right? That's what you believe. It was a Congress conspiracy to target you and to not just you, to start this entire agitation is your argument. Of course, they deny it completely, but you maintain that.
If you apply a simple, basic common sense and just be rational and objective and try to understand the whole map of Haryana and where all this agitation took place. This agitation had been taking place for more than 20 years. It had a history. It has certain organizations which had been running this, been raising this demand for more than 20 years. But this time around, there were dharnas and sit-ins at 449 places. But the violence, arson, looting, it all happened at just about 10 places. And all these 10 places, I must name them, Jhajjar, Beri, Kalanor, Mehem, Rohtak, which is surrounded by Kiloi constituency represented by former Chief Minister of Haryana, Mr. Bhupendra Singh Hooda, then Gohana, Kharkhoda, Rai and Gannaur. Now all these 10 places are represented by the the members of Legislative Assembly or belonging to Congress Party and also a faction of Congress Party. Now, these places, incidentally, very, very important coincidence is that they had never participated in the Jat agitation in last two decades.
And all of a sudden, this time they have.
For the first time, no recognized political Jat agitation body as such. They all cropped up in just 2 days. And they were apparently leaderless on the ground.
You know, on the ground, let me ask you this, because I've also covered those protests and it was extremely dangerous. I have never seen more violent crowds in this sort of thing in 20 years of being out in the field. A lot of the protesters coming in over there were coming in fancy SUVs. They were well-dressed, they were articulate, they were educated people. And they were not poor. So the argument that poor people looking for certain rights were out protesting in many cases, not all, in many cases, is not true or didn't seem to be true.
As I told you, this particular violence that has happened under the garb and under the cover of this Jat agitation movement is actually not part of the Jat agitation movement, because Jat agitation movement in last two decades had never turned violent, at least of this scale. And these new areas which joined in the movement apparently but they did not have the real motive to support the movement.
Right.
The motive was to destabilize the government. Yeah. Motive was to create an environment in the state wherein whatever good things that we have been doing in the last year and a half, that this kind of progress doesn't happen. Or it could be that it's Haryana surrounds Delhi from three sides, and all the three districts that I've mentioned also surrounds Haryana, at least from two sides, that Delhi also feels the heat of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I have reasons to convince myself that this wasn't a one-off incident. It was a well-planned political conspiracy, not only to destabilize the state, but also somehow to affect this national capital as well.
One last question to you. You are going to rebuild your house. I believe what pujas are starting. Is that right? You're starting there will be a religious ceremony what day after tomorrow?
By the grace of God, just 7 days later, we had started our daily ritual of doing Havan Yajna at our home, even if it is burnt. My brother's wife, they had already started doing Havan in the lawns of the, because we, our family has been doing daily yajna havan for almost 100 years now.
And you won't stop that tradition?
No, and that didn't stop. And we're going to start again the rebuilding of the house from 24th, and with the support of all the social groups, with the support of all the everyone who represents any section of society in Haryana. And they're all coming in. They came in the last 2 months. They all met me, be it the Jat reservation movement people or be it various Kap Panchayat people. They all came in and they said that this house belonged to all of us.
Yeah.
And we will rebuild it. We will clean it up. Even till today, the ashes have not been removed. And said that we will help in rebuilding it up.
Well, let's hope, Captain Abhimanyu, that your dream of having that home restored is realized very, very soon.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming out and speaking to us and telling us about what your family has gone through. It must still be a very traumatic experience for them. And let's hope that you as a family
can come out of this successfully. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vishnu. I'm sure we will come out of it, and we'll come out of it stronger.